Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hopefully you guys are able to hear now. That's one of the things about being on a live show. Technical difficulties arise. Let's see. All right. Perfect. All right. Welcome to the Blue Chair Chat with CJ. I'm super excited to be here today. If you guys listened to the last show, you know it's been about 3 or 4 years since I've been able to do this. So I am super excited for you guys to be back with me. There's a lot of great content, great things that I'm really excited to share. So before we get started, I'm just making sure that we don't have any more technical difficulties. Thank you guys for letting me know that you were having some issues previously so we can get all of those settled. Let's see. Making sure that everyone's good here. Good there. Good, good. While I'm waiting to make sure that all of our audio is correct, if you guys would make sure that you follow me on the Blue Chair Chat with CJ on Instagram, I'll be posting a lot of great content, great information there. So please follow me on Instagram at the Blue Chair Chat with CJ. And also for those of you that logged on at 7:30, thank you for your patience while we worked out those last minute technical difficulties. So, all right, let's get right into the show. Man, what a year it has been. COVID has been, was a bitch. If we start back at 2020, I mean, man, who saw this coming? None of us saw this coming. I remember back in the beginning of 2020 watching the news and thinking about how awful it was, what was going on in other parts of the world, and thinking to myself, like, man, that's crazy, but it's not going to happen here. You know, that doesn't happen to us in America. And here we are today in, what, May of 2021, still wearing fucking masks, when I thought initially that this wouldn't impact us at all. It's been crazy. And honestly, I think it's the perfect time at the beginning of today's episode, episode number one, to really take an inventory and kind of do a mental health check. And for those of you that haven't, not that you need it from me, I'm just going to be the person to give it to you today to encourage you to give yourself some grace. I think that we have all been subjected to some trauma, and I think that we need to recognize that. I think it's important to deal with our feelings. I think it's important to, if you're able to, speak with someone about the things we've encountered over the last 12 to 18 months. I mean, this has been some real shit. Like, this is some shit that they're going to see in textbooks and you know, this is going to be stuff they talk about in classrooms well after we're gone from this earth. And so I think that because we've lived this, it's important to deal with it, to talk about it, and, man, extend yourself some grace and give yourself a pat on the back for making it through this shit. This was some real stuff. So while we're on the topic of COVID, I want to talk a little bit before we get into today's topics about vaccinations. And the reason I'm talking about vaccinations is not to talk about, you know, what, how effective they are or anything like that. I want to talk about how we are dealing with vaccinations in terms of the social side of it. And what I mean by that, I believe vaccines are a personal choice. Like, either you want to take the shit or you don't want to take it. And if you get a vaccine, fine. If you don't get a vaccine, that's totally fine as well. It's a personal choice. But I think that we need to start, I think we really need to be aware of the conversations that we have with people. It is a personal choice. I don't think that you should condemn anyone for not doing it. And I also don't think that you should condemn anyone for getting a vaccine. That's their fucking choice. Just the other day, I was at the pharmacy, and there was a lady that was there, and I happened to be there and with someone that was getting a vaccine, and, you know, getting their shot, their first shot, and when the woman found out, you know, she said, are you sure you want to do that? And before I thought about, you know, I thought about it first, and I'm glad that I thought before I spoke, because I'm thinking like, who the fuck are you? But really, when you think about it, people that do know us still have the audacity to do that as well. At the end of the day, if you don't want to take the fucking shot, then don't take the fucking shot. But I don't think that it's your place to tell anyone or condemn anyone for doing what they feel is necessary for themselves. So I wanted to put that out there. And that's just a PSA for anybody that has or has not gotten a vaccine, whether you choose to get it later or you're against it. Keep your fucking mouth closed if you don't want to get it. And if you do, I mean, there's a wealth of knowledge out there for you to make an educated choice for yourself. But for everyone, vaccine or no vaccine, we're still very much in a pandemic, and it's my recommendation to keep your fucking mask on for the time being. All right, so since we're talking about pandemic, I want to also touch on this really quick as well. I found this to be really interesting, and because it kind of falls in line with my line of work and also COVID, I wanted to touch on it today. So right now, we're in an employment crisis, and it's been really interesting because for those of you who have been following this or might be in leadership roles or might be in a work somewhere where your place of employment has been impacted negatively or positively in terms of staffing, then you've probably heard about this employment crisis that we're in right now. Many employers are having a really difficult time attracting or enticing employees to come to work. The landscape of what we thought was, you know, the traditional workforce or the traditional, that landscape has forever been changed. And many people or some articles are calling it the revenge of the minimum wage worker, because they're saying that for the first time, at least in our lifetime, minimum wage workers have some leverage because of all of the programs that are available to them, where they're able to stay at home and not go to work and make more money than they would if they're going to work. Right now the ball is in their court. And so I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and we were talking about a podcast, and on that particular podcast, they were saying, you know, for many of us, we call those people lazy. We say, oh, they're lazy because they don't want to go to work. They're lazy because they're not sick and they don't want, you know, they're getting government assistance and all that. And then we really started to think about it. And, you know, we said, are they lazy or logical? And when you really think about it, it's logical. When you're paying people below the living wage, how can you expect them to be incentivized to come to work to make less when they can make more sitting at home? It really doesn't make sense. So I think there's been, you know, this conversation has been going on. And initially, I was on the other side of it. Initially, I was one of those people that was, you know, saying, you know, people are lazy. They should come to work. They shouldn't be at home, depending upon government assistance. But when I looked at it through the lens of the underpaid worker, I mean, I see it from their perspective. I think that the bigger conversation needs to be, we need to start paying people above the living wage. Why would we encourage someone to come back to work and struggle again when they're finally, for the first time, maybe for the first time in their life, able to make ends meet? I think it's logical. I think that there's a bigger conversation to be had, and I think that we all need to start looking at it through a different lens. But I definitely think that, you know, right now, this is one of many conversations that we're going to be having on this platform, but definitely in the world as we try to navigate this new landscape in the workforce. So since we are allegedly on the backside or on the outskirts of the pandemic, we're coming out of it allegedly, this is the perfect time to introduce one of our weekly segments, and it's going to be called Etiquette, Violation, or Just Tacky. So every week we're going to be talking about three different bullet points, and we're going to talk about it together and figure out whether it's good etiquette, whether it's poor etiquette, or if it's just tacky. So let's go ahead and jump right into this week. So the first thing we have on the docket this week is showing up to events with no gift. All right. how many of the grown people, and it's only grown people listening to this fucking show, so how many of your asses go to people's events or go to people's homes with no gift for the host or hostess? You showing up to people's birthday dinners with nothing, not a bottle of wine, not $5, not a card or anything. I think that, you know, people really have different views when it comes to this. People have a lot to say about this topic. And so before I continue giving my opinion, I want to encourage everybody that's listening to weigh in on this. I'm going to ask that you call in. The phone number is 563-999-3589. Again, the number is 563-999-3589. I want you to tell me what you think. Tell me if you think that it is poor etiquette to show up to an event without a gift or to show up to somebody's home when they're hosting and not have a gift for the host or hostess. Again, the phone number is 563-999-3589. I'm going to go ahead and go over all of the topics so you guys, and then I'm going to go back to the first one and take a call. I see we have a call now. All right, next one we're going to talk about is posting your Cash App on your social media for your birthday. Is it tacky? Because, you know, listen, I know at least two of the people listening, y'all asses be doing it. I'm going to save my opinion to the end, but is it tacky? Is it good etiquette? Is it poor etiquette? What do you think? Should y'all grown asses be posting your Cash App or your Venmo or your PayPal on your birthday? Because some of y'all love to do it. And I be wanting to know, like, okay, did they, what was the grand total? All right. And then asking people how much stuff costs. There's a whole lot I got to say about that. So weigh in. Again, the number is 563-999-3589. I want you to weigh in and tell me what you think. So we're going to go right here. We got somebody calling now. Let's see. All right. Thank you for calling in to the Blue Chair Chat with CJ. Who am I talking to?
Hello. You are talking to DD Jack.
All right, DD Jack. What? Yes. So what do you think? Can you hear me? What do you think?
Yes.
How do you feel about people showing up to events with no gift or showing up to people's homes with no gift for the host or the hostess?
Okay, so me personally, I think it's rude, and I think it's quite tacky, and I think it's also inconsiderate. You know, I guess I grew up old school. You know, I feel awkward walking into someone's house, you know, making a present, knowing that I'm about to consume their food and their drinks and things like that and not bring anything. And then just plus, I just want to contribute anyway, you know. I mean, it may be they house nasty, and I really don't plan on eating over there, so I at least want to bring a dish that I could eat or at least a
not
glass.
Not they house nasty.
Well, I bring it for multiple reasons. I'm just going through the list of reasons that, you know, I bring things. But mainly it's because it's poor etiquette to show up to someone's home without something in your hand, whether it be a drink, a dish. You know, if you can't cook, please don't cook. Buy soda, buy paper towels, you know, buy plates, something like that. I got a sister that can't cook. We always tell her, bring drinks, you know. And so I think that it's, you know, improper to show up with just nothing. So that's my two cents on that.
There was definitely some shade there. So let me ask you this. What about when you go to people's homes that tell you not to bring anything? Do you think that if you don't bring something, you're just, you know, you're just following their wishes, or do you think it's still tacky?
Well, I think that that's quite often what happens. Most people say don't bring anything. Now, if they insist on you not bringing anything, I don't think that it's tacky. I think that they appreciate you at least offering, but I still do bring something at least. But again, if they insist on you not bringing anything, no, you've acknowledged that, hey, I thought about you. I wanted to contribute. I wanted to bring something, and that's it.
Okay, that's fair. So listen, go ahead and weigh in on this next one. What do you think about people posting their Cash App on social media for their birthday?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And the reason why I don't is because, you know, if someone wants to gift them with something, then, you know, they have it listed there available. If that's their preferred gift, be it money, then that's up to them. One of the callers said the audio was cutting in and out. I'm not sure if it's me or not, but I don't think it's tacky. I don't think that there's an age limit on being able to be the recipient of a gift, you know, for your birthday. So I don't see anything wrong with that personally. Now, I do think that there is a way that you need to word it. So I think there's an appropriate verbiage. I don't think that you should, like, beg people for it. But, you know, if you want to gift me, hey, the gift that I'm accepting or the gift that I would like is this, and here's the way that, you know, I can be able to access it.
Let me tell you what I think. I think that some people, we already, you know, and y'all can take this whatever way you want to. This, one thing about this platform or this show, I mean, I'm going to give it to you straight. So I feel like we already have to see y'all posting for every damn thing else. I mean, now you see a GoFundMe going up every week. Some of them, I understand, some of them legitimate. You know, whether it be you selling fish plates for your great aunt that died or posting a GoFundMe for that or whatever the case may be, I think it's tacky to post your Cash App or your Venmo for your birthday. I think that people that want to gift to you, they will find a way to gift to you, or they will ask you for your Cash App or whatever, you know, type of app that they want to use to give you money. I think all of that posting, I think it looks really thirsty. I think you look desperate. And if you need a little change, just say you need a little change. You don't have to wait until your birthday. Now, as far as showing up to events with no gift, I think that's very tacky. And showing up to people's homes with no gift for the host or the hostess, really tacky. Like, you're an adult. Who raised some of y'all? Walking into somebody's house, sitting your ass down, eating their fucking food, and then saying, all right, I'm about, very fucking tacky. You need to walk in with a bottle of wine, whether it be a Hershey with almonds, whatever it is that you choose to bring, you need to bring something whether they ask you to or not. And it's not about them needing you to. It's about showing your appreciation for you inviting them in the first place. That's where I'm at with it. I mean, that's how I was raised. That's what I believe in. To each their own. I mean, you know, for some of you guys, some of you people on here, you're going to do what you're going to do anyway. But I do think it's tacky. Now, the last thing under etiquette for today is asking people how much stuff costs. Y'all, I can't tell you how bold people are in these times. And honestly, I've never gotten comfortable with it. Like, it continues to shock me to date that people have the audacity to ask some of the questions that they ask. How do you fix your mouth to ask someone how much something costs? For example, if you see, let's say you see a female walk in with a new handbag, how much was that? Why are you fucking asking them that? Furthermore, what I paid for it, that might not even be how much you pay for it. So if you like something so much, take your ass to Google, find out how much it costs for you, and then there is your answer. I don't think it's appropriate to ask people how much things cost. But again, we're here with each other today. Tell me what you think. Call in 563-999-3589. Let me know what you think. I'm looking at the chat right now. I see Emmy and Jones is saying right, which I knew she would. I mean, I think it's bold. I think in many ways it's rude. I personally don't think you should be asking people that. So, again, if you have something you want to add to that, you can call in at any time during today's episode, 563-999-3589. Also, I encourage you guys to head over to Instagram, follow me on the Blue Chair Chat with CJ. Moving forward, we're going to be posting a lot of great content, a lot of great information there as well. I see some calls. I'm going to take them in just a moment. I'm going to hit on – actually, let's go ahead and take them now. Let's see. All right, caller, you are on the air. What's your name and where are you from? See, caller, you're on. What's your name and where are you from? Ending in 2854.
Oh, sorry. Hi, this is Davian, and I'm calling from Houston, originally from Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right, so what topic are you calling to weigh in on?
I'll touch on the most recent one of the asking how much something costs, but then I also want to speak on the one before that, which you'll have to jog my memory in just a second. But as far as asking someone how much something costs, that is definitely bold, and I do believe it's rude. Like, well, it's intrusive, which I guess would be considered as rude because, you know, like, it's just certain things you don't ask people. You can ask someone where you got something from or where they got something from, but to specifically how much something costs, like, that's just very classless to me. And I'm pretty sure you would agree by how you were fucking on everything else. So, yeah, I definitely don't get with that. And the topic before that was what again?
Showing up to events with no gift and showing up to people's homes with no gift for the host or the hostess.
I feel like it depends on, well, no, because I want to say, like, I like to give people the benefit of the doubt, and you never really know a person's financial situation. However, if you can afford to go, like, if you can afford to support a particular habit you may have, even if it's just drinking wine or whatever, like, you can go spend an extra $5 or $6 for a bottle of wine just to give. So it is something that I feel like a lot of people, if they were taught it, they forgot it. But I also feel like it just wasn't taught after a certain point, especially when you have a certain type of upbringing. So I'm from Little Rock,
okay,
and my family's real country, and they believe in, you know, if you go into somewhere, especially like if it's a housewarming, a baby shower, anything, or just I don't know, like it could be something really simple. Your first time going to that person's house, since they moved into it or something, you can definitely bring a gift just to be considerate. Like, I mean, y'all friends clearly, so why not? Like,
make sure you follow us on Instagram.
I already did.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. One point he said I wanted to touch on, you know, he said some people weren't raised the way or maybe they were raised the way and forgot it. Some of these motherfuckers just never had it. I'm looking in the comments. It says you can bring a case of soda for $5. If you don't have any money, you're officially on the cleanup crew. Exactly. Come in and say, hey, what do you need me to do? You can be a part of the service crew or part of the cleanup crew. Absolutely. All right. DD Jack said H-Town, repping the H-Town. All right. So moving on to – and actually the perfect segue when we talk about asking people how much stuff costs, I really want to take a second today, and I was really excited to talk about this on today's first episode. Not only is it something that rings true for me and is very near and dear to my heart, being in people's personal fucking business. You know, it's one thing to ask someone how much things cost, but I think that there's almost a sense of normalcy surrounding this now, just being in people's business. And I think that, you know, I don't know how many of you guys are listening today, but I think it's necessary for those of us who don't want you in our business, which is probably most of us, to just go ahead and give a PSA for everyone that's not on here today. Stay out of people's fucking business. Yes, we are living in transparent times, but I don't think anyone owes you their business. I personally always say there's really nothing you have to ask me because I've already told you what you don't want to know. I think that sometimes some people have the best of intentions and don't realize what they're asking. I mean, some of the questions that people ask, you know, you show up. We've talked about people asking how much things cost. People ask you what type of medication you're on, where you get this from, are you and your mate still together, what happened, how did your mama die, so on and so forth. And while sometimes they really are genuine and there is no ill intent, you really have to think about what you're asking people. But most importantly, I think it's important to really just follow, for me, a golden rule. Minding your fucking business. I don't know why that's really difficult for people in today's times. And I think, like I said, we're in transparent times. I think we divulge a lot of information on social media. I think that, you know, everyone wants to talk about living their truth and living out loud. And I think that's great. But I think it's also important to recognize that what people want you to know, they're telling you. And if they wanted you to know, they would fucking tell you. I am, yes, you know, I'm a work in progress because I tend to get offended when you ask me too many damn questions. What do you need? Did I not give you enough? Did I not tell you enough? So I think that's something that we all need to be a little bit more aware of when it comes to being in people's business. And if you're listening today and you know me personally, you know that's a big one for me. Don't ask me nothing. Don't ask me shit. Mind your business. And I have learned, you know, I've always been the type of person to mind my business, but I think I've gotten better at it over the years, learning to mind my business. And if someone wants to tell me something, I will allow them the freedom to tell me when they want to. Again, if you want to weigh in on the topic, 563-999-3589, I'd love to hear what you got to say about it. So when we're talking about COVID and we're talking about the pandemic and some of the things, some of the challenges that we faced during the pandemic and post-pandemic, one of the things that has really been impacted are our relationships. And I really want to touch on friendships today. I realize that for those of us that have, you know, that were in quarantine and chose to isolate ourselves for whatever reason during the pandemic, our friendships suffered. Quite frankly, some friendships suffered and ended during the pandemic. I was reading an article the other day about how so many relationships during the time, just kind of during this time, have kind of faded away. And when I thought about it, you know, I kind of took an inventory of my own friendships and to see like, okay, is there anyone that I was talking to previously, you know, prior to the pandemic that I don't talk to now as a result? And I really couldn't, you know, I didn't think of any of them. But that's also because for my friendships have always been set up in a way that I've never found it necessary to speak to someone every single day. I don't think that is necessary. I think that it's a bit too much for me. And so that leads me to the question, how much work is too much work in a friendship? What do y'all think? I think friendships should really be almost effortless. I think it should be natural and free-flowing. I don't think friendships should require you to talk every day. And I think that sometimes it's necessary in friendships to recognize when you've outgrown a friendship. I think it's necessary to recognize when you're in a toxic friendship. We talk a lot about toxic relationships, you know, being involved with someone romantically. But what about these toxic friendships? What about these people that we allow in our lives, you know, for all of these years, just for the sake of saying I've known them for this many years, and they're really not adding to, you know, our lives at all? I think that if anything, for me during the pandemic, I was able to really start identifying, you know, how valuable for me my friendships were, and how every friendship that I have is really, really unique and different in its own way. But over the years, I have put in work to not only recognize what I bring to a friendship, but what I need from a friend. And I've also been able to recognize when I've outgrown friendships. And then I had to do to realize that often I found myself shrinking many times in friendships to fit in places that I'd outgrown. So many examples I could give about people that I may have known for decades. And I thought that because I knew them for decades, that I owed them all of my time or that I was indebted to them somehow. And really, that wasn't the case. I mean, I think that we've got to stop thinking that because we have, you know, tenure supersedes peace. Just because somebody's been played a part for a long time, that doesn't mean that it comes at the sacrifice of everything else. I got a caller. I'll take your call. Let's see. Caller, you are on the line. Tell us your name and where you're from.
Hello, my name is Tevin Inslee, and I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
All right. So what topic did you want to weigh in on?
About the pandemic and friendship. I would like to say I do agree with you. Like, when it comes to the pandemic and my friendships, mine didn't waver because I do believe in, like me, I don't have to speak to my friends every day. They know this. Did nothing change? I was who I was before the pandemic, and I'm still the same. And I think, like you said, I think during the pandemic, a lot of people, it didn't allow, like, the friendship, the people who just went out and just party all the time. So if you can't go out and party, so what was your friendship really based on? So I think it made a lot of people realize, like, what is, a lot of people had to step back and be like, is this really a true friendship? If we, can we actually be around each other if we just not partying and getting drunk? Like, what is our foundation? So for me personally, the pandemic didn't hinder my friendships because anybody, I think a lot of people get confused between a friendship and an associate. And I think a lot of us call associates friends, which is a completely different thing. But, yeah, for me personally, when it comes to the pandemic, my friendships didn't waver. I'm the same that I was then, and I'm the same now. And as I grow, my friends grow with me. So, yeah, I just wanted to weigh in on that topic.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. Atlanta, Georgia, in the house. Okay. I think he brought up a great point. And one of the things he said that I found interesting was that as he grows, his friendships grow with him. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I think it's also important to recognize when that's not happening. And when we talk about, I mean, this is a perfect example. When we talk about friendships growing with us, I think that it's one thing, one day during the pandemic, and I can't remember what, I think it might have been a post on social media about this too. And there were people that were, or, you know, there's a certain type of personality that's needy. We all have met somebody needy. But I found it really interesting, people that felt like they needed to be checked on during the pandemic. Let me tell you what I mean by that. We're all in this pandemic together. And you think that as a friend, somebody is responsible for checking on you just because we're in a pandemic. Don't get me wrong. I think that you should check on your friends. But I think to put the weight of that on somebody, like, okay, you know, I'm upset with you because you haven't checked on me every day during the pandemic. We all going through this same shit. We're all going through the same thing together. This is an unprecedented event. And so I'm talking about that today because when we talk about growth, I think that's really childish and selfish, that type of thought process, when we're going through a situation that and none of us really, you know, none of us really know. We're learning how to navigate it together. All right. So we got about 20 minutes left or so, and I want to, if you haven't been listening the whole time, I'm going to ask you now to stop and follow me on Instagram at the Blue Chair Chat with CJ. I thank you for listening to this first episode, and there's so much more great content to come, but please follow us at the Blue Chair Chat with CJ. Any of today's topics that you want to weigh in on, please call in at 563-999-3589. 563-999-3589. So speaking of friendships, is there a rule to how much your mate should be around your partner? Now, if you know me personally, then you know that I've been waiting and waiting to talk about what is now old news in pop culture. But since this is the first episode of this show, it's new news for this show. The whole Portia Williams and Simon situation, I find it to be really interesting. And I find it to be a topic that people have really different responses to. So, like, if you don't watch Real Housewives of Atlanta, and before I start, let me say that I am a Portia Williams fan. I've always liked Portia. And this event, while, you know, I kind of have to side-eye her a little bit, I still like Portia. But if you're a Real Housewives of Atlanta fan, then you'll know that just a few weeks ago, Portia Williams made headlines because there was a person on this that she introduced on the show with her friend named Fallon. And Fallon was introduced on the show on an episode where Portia and some other friends went to Fallon's house. And, you know, she had a beautiful home with her husband, who was noticeably older than her, and you know, they had a good time and all of that. Well, recently, Portia Williams made headlines because she made an announcement via her Instagram that Fallon's estranged husband, they're in the process of getting a divorce, and her are now engaged. Portia Williams is stating that her and Fallon allegedly were never friends, and you know, obviously she doesn't think there's anything wrong with her, you know, now being in a relationship with a person, with an ex of a friend. So it led me to want to ask today, like, is there a rule to how much your mate should be around your partner? Because I've heard people say this before, like, oh, I ain't going to have nobody around. And I've always thought it was, you know, I've always thought it was weird because I felt like, man, if you're with somebody and you can't trust them to be around your friends, I mean, what's the point in being with them? Because they're just waiting on an opportunity. Think about it even more. You really can't trust people. But I think that what's happening in this situation that I'm a little bit disappointed about is that we're putting all of the blame on the woman and none of the blame on the man. Now, of course, there are reports, and according to Simon, his estranged wife did cheat on him. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on, or a lot of stories that are coming out in the media. But what do you guys think? I want you to call in at 563-999-3589, 563-999-3589. Is there a limit to how much you should allow your partner to be around your friends? Should you even have, should you even mix your friends? Can your partner go out to the club or bar with you, or with you and your friends? Is that a thing? Is that okay? What's acceptable and not acceptable? So one of the things, I guess it's a hashtag now, they're calling it Portia's pussy. And I just saw this today. I don't know. I guess now they're saying, you know, it's so good she can get anybody. When you really look at this guy who she's with, Simon, I mean, he allegedly does have, you know, a substantial amount of money. But I don't think it would take too much to get him. If you have not been following this story, or you're not a Real Housewives of Atlanta fan, after today's show, I do encourage you to go and look up who I'm talking about. All of this will make sense. He is not the most visually appealing person, so I don't think that Portia had to put in too much work. I'm looking in the comments and someone's saying, I think it's okay as long as there's no trust issues. Okay. So let's see. If trust hasn't been compromised, why not? I've always thought that it's okay to have your mate and your friends hang around each other. But I also think that they're to a certain extent, and not just because, not just for, you know, thinking that somebody's going to cheat, but I think that it's important for me. The reason I think it's important is for you to maintain your own identity. I don't think that your mate should be with you every time you hang out with your friends. And if I'm speaking for your friends, I don't think they want you to be your mate to be there every time either. Somebody in the comments are saying his bank account is appealing. Well, yeah, obviously. I think that if it weren't for that, I don't think he would even be able to mention Portia Williams' name. So, all right, since we're talking about relationships, in your relationship, what do you guys think are some of your pet peeves? I wrote down one of my pet peeves in a relationship is unnecessary words. Like, have you ever met a person, and I guess this just wouldn't just be in relationships, I guess this is with people in general. You ever met a person that uses a lot of unnecessary words? Like, for instance, if they have a question to ask you, before they ask the question, they have to say shit like, I have a question. Like, just ask me what the hell you want to know. I think a lot of people use a lot of unnecessary words. What are some of your pet peeves when it comes to, I guess not just relationships, but people as well? What are some of the things that irritate you or annoy you when it comes to interacting with other people? I also have on my list, smacking is a big one for me. I know that in the comments that I'm reading, I know there's at least one person that's going to weigh in on that because I know they have an issue with that. There we go right there. Man Jones says, chewing loudly. Absolutely. That's a huge pet peeve of mine. And then one of the things that I hate, too, as a pet peeve, when you're talking about yourself, someone makes it about them. Like, that irritates the fuck out of me as well. Why y'all do that? I think, give me my moment. Let me talk about me. People are quick to listen to what you have to say and then turn it around on them. You tell them about your, you know, broken toe, and before you know it, they're telling you about theirs and how they broke their arm and how their mama broke theirs. Let people have their moment. Those are a few of my pet peeves, but you guys let me know what yours are. Either in the comments, you can call in, or even if after the show you want to weigh in, please send me a DM on the Blue Chair Chat with CJ. DD Jack says, I want to hear more about what people think about friends hanging out with partners. I would love to hear it as well. If you have an opinion on that, feel free to call me in at 563-999-3589. Again, the number is 563-999-3589. Don't be shy. Don't be scared to call in and give your opinion. This is not, we are not in a Baptist church. I will not put a mic in front of your face and tell you to tell me where you came from and tell me your story. All right. Well, I will ask you where you're from, but nobody can see you here, so you can be anybody you want to be. All right, we got a call coming through. Let's see.
Hello.
Let's see. All right. Caller, you are on the line. Tell us your name and where you're from.
Hey, CJ, honey. This is Keisha from Georgia.
Welcome. All right, what you calling in to talk about?
I'm just calling in to talk about pet peeves and relationships, and I feel like mine personally is when someone is very dismissive of my emotions or my views on things. It grinds my gears and irks my soul.
Not grind your gear and work your soul. No. Okay. So what when you say that they're dismissive, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, when I say dismissive, it's like if I'm taking the time to explain to you something that's bothering me or behavior that's bothering me, and you make it seem so minute or that I'm blowing it out of proportion or that I'm nagging you about it, it kind of creates an environment where I don't feel comfortable expressing myself or being vulnerable, for I'm just going to, like, start shutting the fuck up and or just, like, not even dealing with you anymore.
Okay. So do you think that there is an environment that we or your mate is responsible for creating? So basically they're responsible for creating that safe space for you to be able to divulge all of that information. And when they don't receive how you feel, they compromise the integrity of that environment.
Right, because I'm not asking you to agree with me, right? All I'm asking for is understanding from where I'm coming from, because me personally, I like to create opportunities and spaces for people to be them, like to be themselves or say whatever they need for me to understand them, right? I don't think I'm unapproachable. I don't think I'm hard to understand or hard to listen. So if I'm giving you that respect, I demand it in return.
Okay. I think that, you know what, it's, before I say that, let me say this. I'm looking in the comments, and people definitely agree with you. Dede Jack says, that's a big one. Emin Jones says, yes, same. And then Dede Jack said, right, the safe space no longer exists. So I definitely agree with you. Let me ask you this. I often say that even when it comes to people just being honest about things, I think we, as a partner, you bear the responsibility of creating a safe space for a person to be honest. And sometimes people aren't honest with people, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes people aren't honest with people because they don't do a good job of creating a safe space for them to be honest. For instance, if you know that somebody is not going to receive what you have to say well, or they don't create an environment for you to be able to be vulnerable or honest, then how can we then expect them to feel comfortable to be honest? Do you agree with that?
I have a little bit of a disagreement because
okay.
I believe in accountability on both ends. So while
okay.
it is one person or both persons involved, it's their responsibility to create the safe space. You still have the obligation as someone's partner to be honest. So just because
right.
someone does create that safe space doesn't give you the right to then lie. If
I
anything,
okay.
it's a miscommunication thing, and you need to find the common ground to where both of you can hear each other in a different vernacular or a different way of phrasing things or things like that.
I agree. I think you've gotten some spidey senses tingling. People are having a lot to say about it. People are having a lot to say about what you said, but you brought up some valid points, and thank you so much for calling in all the way from Atlanta.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So guys, listen. We don't have much time. I want to thank you for tuning in today. And this was the first episode, and of course, we had some technical challenges at the beginning. But I'm really excited about what's to come. One of the reasons why I was so adamant and about bringing this show back was because it gave me an opportunity to really show my heart and speak my truth. And I think that this is a great platform to be able to engage in dialogue and share information and talk about the things that we don't always get to talk about with people that look like us or act like us. And so I'm really excited about all that is to come. Now, I will warn you, if you're a person that doesn't like profanity, this might not be the show for you because there will be plenty of it. This is the one space in my life where I really get to be unscripted, raw, and just bare my heart and tell my truth. And I want to share this space with you guys. So every week on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be inviting you into this space to do just that. I don't believe in scripts, and so while I did have some topics today, I wanted to be able to just free flow and touch on some of the things that, you know, some of the things that we'll be talking about, but there's much more to come. If you would do me the honor, if you haven't done so already, of going over to Graham and following me at the Blue Chair Chat with CJ, there will be a lot of great content posted there in the near future that I'm really excited about, and it'll give us an opportunity to engage in between shows. Aside from that, I want to thank you guys for joining in today. Next week, one of the things that will be up for discussion are the things that Black people say. We're going to be talking about some of the things that Black people say. We're going to be talking about some of the toxic behaviors that we have normalized in Black culture. And I'm really excited about those. So if you're interested in talking about it, or if you're interested in just listening to it, then meet me here next Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time at the Blue Chair Chat with CJ. Much love and peace to you. Let's get through the week, and I'll see you on Wednesday. You guys have a great night.